Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Belgium, you're on notice. In Spain, you're up next. I am directing the full weight of my pro-American views. What do you call it when you hate other countries?
Xenophobia?
Yeah, I'm all about it. All about it. Tonight, it's USA Belgium. Texters coming through with some things to hate about Belgium. For the next hour, if you would like to text, I'm trying to assemble a list of things that we don't like about Belgium. And so far, we have at 651-461-9226. Belgium, they speak French, they speak German. Pick a language already.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and Belgium.
Yeah. Another texter, their waffles have too many carbs. Yeah. Get with the protein generation, Belgium, okay? Minnesota pork, that's what we have here in this country. You got some lame waffle. Come on. Keep your Belgium hate coming, and hopefully we'll get a win tonight, and then we'll move on to negativity about the Spaniards, which that will be tough for me as a fan of Spain, the country. I've been to Spain and I've been to Portugal, so I both of those countries battling off. What could you do? All right. Should we make Kate come up with her number one thing she hates about Belgium?
I'm sure she's got a list and she's compiling right now.
All right, think about it, Kate, while we play this beautiful song.
Let's bounce some pop culture stories and issues through the lens of this Emmy award-winning journalist turned media relations VP.
From TikTok and Target runs, what's trending and more. She's got the scoop for Jason in the Rav Report.
Now on Drive Time with Darusha. It's time for the Rad Report.
Kate Raddatz is the Vice President of Media Relations at McClung PR. She is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Kate, where are you at on Belgium?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, they give us good waffles and chocolate, but I do respect that, but
that's not the vibe. That's not the energy I'm looking for.
Maybe we'll call them overrated waffles. Just
yes,
for that.
Yes.
We can do that.
And
sure.
Honestly, Belgian chocolate. Why is it Belgian?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough because it is. For 90 minutes, overrated.
I don't even know. Like, I'm trying to think of the last time I've had Belgian chocolate. Like, I personally like to keep my chocolate purchases domestic. You know, I'm trying to keep it here in the good old USA.
That's a good call. Yes. That's very supportive of you.
It's very good. A texter says, I was against the Belgian call, but now I'm kind of for it. Am I waffling?
Very nice.
Oh,
very nice.
Very nice.
I love a dad joke. That's great.
I
love it.
That's pretty good. Kate Raddatz is with us. Have you gotten into the World Cup at all, or just, I mean, now?
I'm not even going to pretend that I follow it closely. My husband is obsessed.
Yeah.
He's absolutely obsessed. So I'm not going to try to take credit for people who are really, really into it.
Well, sure.
Yeah, he's all
about
it. So.
It's not a competition. You don't have to be the most into it.
Sure. I'm not an expert. But yes, it's super exciting. Honestly, I love. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was wondering if he's into soccer or if the fun of it is just like that you could cheer for America, you know, sort of like when the Olympics come around, we get excited about cheering for America.
Definitely both, because he loves soccer. I go to their soccer games and am still learning what's happening in soccer. So, no, definitely both for him.
If you ever got in trouble with like an international authority, would you be bothered if the president of the United States made a call and just said, like, hey, could you give Kate like another look? Could you give it another look?
I don't. Being the rule follower that I am, I think that would give me an anxiety attack.
But. I mean, have you ever tried to get out of a speeding ticket? Have you ever, like, have you ever gotten a ticket?
I have had, I think I've had, well, I've had one speeding ticket. I think I've had two. I've had two. And it was right when I moved to the house where I'm now, and I was really upset about it because I didn't know the roads yet, and I didn't see a sign. So, no, I think I did try to fight it, but that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I have definitely tried to get out of a speeding ticket before. Maybe that's why, like, I look at the president calling the FIFA guy as, like, the same as, like, me, you know, trying to get out of a speeding ticket. Similar vibe.
Is it the same?
Yeah. It's. I mean.
Is it the same level?
I will say Donald Trump.
What is your excuse when you get a speeding ticket?
Donald Trump
was. I feel like in news it happens a lot, but.
Trump was more effective than I was. I'll say that much. My speeding ticket excuse was. And actually, I was shocked when I was pulled over because I had the cruise control set at 65.
Okay.
But the speed limit had dropped to 55, and I didn't. They got me. Yeah. And what was my defense? No defense, right? Other than just like, oh, I was trying to go see my sister's kids, my nieces, competing in a gymnastics contest in New Ulm. So I was being
okay,
a good, like,
that's a nice, yes.
I anchored
nice
the morning
story.
News, got in the car to drive to freaking New Ulm, and then I'm trying to do the right thing, and then I get a ticket.
And they gave it to you, and you didn't get out of it.
No,
oh, man.
No, there was no empathy for my situation whatsoever.
So the lesson was don't go to the gymnastics.
Yeah, don't go. New Ulm, you're dead to me. New Ulm, you're on. No, I'm very pro New Ulm, but did leave a bad taste in my mouth. You never forget that spot. Cause when you get pulled over, it's a little, I don't know. I think for most people, it's a little scary, right?
It's the worst. Again, being such a rule follower, and I was so upset at myself. Your insurance goes up.
Oh, yes.
I was so upset at myself. I can't remember how long before it dropped off, but when that dropped off, I'm like, I'm never getting another speeding ticket. So, yes, it's an icky feeling for sure.
You were just on like a big road trip, right?
Yes. And guess how many times I've said to my husband, don't you dare speed. I'm not getting pulled over on this trip. So, they fly in South Dakota. I think the speed limit is 80, I'm pretty sure.
It is. Yes, you can go real fast. So you took a road trip, and I think every Minnesota family, you should take that road trip out to the west or out to like the Dakotas or out to Montana or wherever. What were the highlights, favorite places you visited on this trip?
Oh, man. I think the biggest surprise to me was the Custer State Park. That was the surprise because I knew I would be excited to see a national park. I knew I would be excited to go to the Badlands. I knew I would be excited to, I don't know, look for the wildlife and all that. But Custer State Park and just the hikes they had and how family friendly they were, like my 3-year-old could do so many of them.
Cool.
It was so cool. And, you know, I think when you're from the Midwest, when you go to places like that or even Chicago, you think, oh, I know it already. Like, I know it because I've been there and it's in the Midwest. And then I understand why it was cool playing the license plate game of seeing people from all over the country that were there and seeing why you need more time than we had. Because easily you could go further west. I mean, we didn't even do, I think it's Devil's Tower. We didn't even get to that. And with how crazy expensive it is now to fly and everything, it's an awesome thing. I think every Minnesotan should do for sure.
Yeah. We did the Badlands. We did the Devil's Tower. We did the Mount Rushmore experience, and it was awesome. Like it's the kind of thing that when you fly to vacation, which I get, like, the cost of flying is high, but the savings of being able to have more time to enjoy what you're doing is big. But those memories in the car with the kids, I kind of miss those days, you know?
Yeah, and it is different. There's something different about being in your own car, and you do. You said, like, you move at a different pace. I will say I learned, I mean, this was the longest road trip we've ever done. Way home feels a lot longer than the way there. The way there, you're like, this is so great. We're so excited. You're doing all the games. Way home, I was by hour nine, I was done. But other than that, it is very special. And I mean, I still remember being 7, 8 years old, going on road trips. We didn't fly anywhere when I was that age. And so I have all these memories of driving everywhere, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So
absolutely the same. We did not fly anywhere, no doubt about it. Let's break in a minute. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce did, in fact, get married this weekend. Was Kate on the guest list? And your go-to fast food. Two topics we'll mix up with Kate Raddatz when we come back here on.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul McCartney performed I Want to Hold Your Hand for the first time in 60 years. At the Taylor Swift wedding. Would have been cool to be at. Kate Raddatz, you couldn't make it, or you weren't on the guest list?
Very sad, because it feels like everyone was on the guest list. So I unfortunately was not there.
1,000 people invited. I am sort of loving the stories sort of coming out now about the people who were snubbed, which... It is a little worse when 1,000 people get invited to something and then you thought you were, like, you were friends with Travis Kelce and then you're out. And you see you're like Dean Blandino, the NFL, like, rules analyst for Fox Broadcast. He was on the guest list?
Yes. You're like, how do you know?
You're like, did we need, like, a replay analyst at the wedding? I don't know. Like, it was a funny sort of crossover of the pop culture, the Hollywood celebrity, and the sports star world at this thing.
The whole thing is still surprising to me. I'm still very, again.
Did you think they weren't actually going to get married? Did you think the relationship was like a publicity stunt?
Oh, no, not that at all. I thought the whole actual wedding, saying it was in New York City and all this, I thought it was all just, you know, that they were actually getting married somewhere. It was a distraction.
They were actually getting married in a small,
because obviously they could afford to do that if they wanted to. But it's just shocking to me. She had this giant wedding, this woman who was saying about, I don't know, very romantic. And I'm sure it was romantic and very lovely. Although I have seen today the detail coming out that their vows were each 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And that alone makes me glad I was not invited.
Do you think, like, if you're the guest, are you sitting there? Are you like, all right, like, enough? 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I don't know. Before you were married, did you have 20 minutes of material apiece to say about your husband?
Probably not. No. I don't think our ceremony was 20 minutes.
I mean, mine was a Catholic mass, so it was still an hour. But
so
like,
yours was, yes.
But
yes.
Like the vows were, and I think we just did like the, you know, the corporate issued, you know, church ratified vows. Like, I don't recall customizing them at all. People do that now. That wasn't very common back when I got married.
Sure.
And the Catholics, you're just supposed to do the bit. Like, that's sort of how we do it in the Catholic Church, you know?
That makes sense.
I think it's fun. Like, I enjoyed all the stuff. I know people were like, it's just, like, who cares? But I think the fact that when this relationship first started, there was question as to, like, is this just a bit, you know?
Right.
I think, like, I don't know, and you're closer to the age of, like, the Taylor Swift era, but there's something sweet about the fact that she found love. Like, I think she went on this journey around the same age of, you know, now it's people who are in their late 30s through their 40s. Mm-hmm. But like she was on this love journey that you're like, we all wanted her to find it. And I think it's sweet. I think it's nice.
I think it's great. As someone who up until a year ago really wasn't a Taylor Swift fan, not because I didn't like her. I just couldn't really, I didn't maybe identify with a lot of her music or whatever it was. And I mean, I just don't think anyone can argue she hasn't been anything but a pretty great, I think she's been a great role model for comparatively to other pop stars out there. And you want to root for her. She gives a lot to charity. So, I mean, obviously she's very wealthy, but she gives a lot too. And so I love it. I'm like, of course there's more important news in the world.
Of course.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
But I love seeing something fun, and I would not be surprised in the least if we're going to get a wedding special.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's a little curious that she hasn't released a single photo yet. You're like, come
right.
on. Come on.
Right. Right. Of course, I
get it. You're very in love, but like, take a break from your post-marital. We know what you're doing. Like, you could post a picture, you know, let's see the dress.
Right. Right. I'm going to guess we're going to get a special. It's going to be somewhere. We're going to get a special we have to pay for.
Probably true.
So, yes.
Dan sent us this story about Burger King trying to make a comeback. And Burger King's always been around, but it's been sort of, I don't know, when you think of fast food restaurants that are on the up, it's always like Chick-fil-A or, what are the hot restaurants?
Culver's.
Culver's is sort of having a pop culture moment.
Cane's, I would say.
Yep.
Cane's, yeah, all the chicken fingers.
Cane's,
yeah,
for
Cane's
sure.
Cane's is so hot. Do you have a go-to fast food? I don't know if Burger King really can come back. You see new things emerge. Do places that die come back? I don't know, but do you?
I have no problem with Burger King. Burger King is fine to me, but I'm sad that it's gone out of style apparently with the kids. But
I've always liked the Whopper. I'm pro Whopper, like a little flame broil, but I can't think of the last time I've been to Burger King.
I think because there's one near downtown, it's been a dead zone. That so many times working in news, we would definitely go to that Burger King.
Yeah.
So other than that, favorite fast food is definitely Arby's, 100%.
Arby's, yes.
Arby's, yes.
So
that's
last night I was at dinner. A friend of mine threw this America dinner. So all the wines were America. American-made wine. All of the food was like, we had a hamburger and we had steak and we had, you know, it was all that. We had nachos, you know, think of the American type food.
That sounds great.
It was so good. But one of the guests was a fairly prominent local chef and her husband. And she had said she had never been to Arby's. And so my friend immediately DoorDashed an Arby's roast beef sandwich and a large curly fries with the horsey sauce and the Arby's sauce.
Yes, you have to do the horsey sauce. Yes.
Alyssa was saying, she's like, I like to mix it, like a little horsey, a little Arby. And it was very funny. Arby's was always the DeRusha go-to on a road trip, too, because it felt like it was just a roast beef sandwich, right? Like, there's nothing gross about it. There's nothing. It's just roast beef. It was simple and less, like, fried kind of stuff. I don't know. That's always been the go-to.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way, but I guess you're right. Yeah.
My kids like McDonald's. They're McDonald's fans. And I like McDonald's, too. I especially like the breakfast, like the biscuit. The sausage egg biscuit is my favorite breakfast fast food.
Not understand the McDonald's breakfast obsession. That would be Taco Bell for me, a Taco Bell breakfast.
They have breakfast at Taco Bell?
Oh, my goodness. The breakfast crunch wrap, I'm pretty sure that I ate that every week when I was pregnant.
Really? I didn't even know. I never even thought about Taco Bell for breakfast.
Oh, the breakfast crunch wrap. If you have not had it, you need to now. And get the hot sauce with it.
Tomorrow morning. I'm going to Taco Bell. Oh, very good. Kate, this was terrific. Thanks for being here and, you know, screw Belgium tonight.
Anytime. Go USA.
Thank you. There goes Kate Raddatz. Texts are still coming in on why people hate Belgium. So you can keep those texts coming. One texter says, Belgium has very high taxes. Yeah, take that, Belgium. Whatever. Like, we're trying to come up with reasons to hate them for the USA World Cup match tonight. Drive Time's going to break. In just a minute, 10 years ago was a traffic stop that has changed the way police do their jobs in Minnesota. It was a traffic stop that led to the death of Philando Castile. There were a number of errors made that day. And because of it, there's something that police are not doing anymore that I think has turned out great. It really has. We're going to talk about the one thing that police no longer do, or at least they very rarely do it, in the aftermath of Philando Castile. That when we come back on Drive Time.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
10 years ago, Philando Castile was pulled over because his taillight was broken. Odds are pretty good today that that wouldn't happen. Both Ramsey and Hennepin counties have moved away from pulling people over for equipment violations. And while I think we've made a major error in the post-COVID time in reducing the amount of traffic enforcement we do, because I think there are so many reckless and dangerous drivers out there, I am so glad that we almost never pull people over for having a broken taillight or for having the air freshener around their rearview mirror. This was almost entirely about pulling people over, hoping to find something else. It was a procedural fishing expedition. And I think we're safer because of it. I really do. I'm glad that we're not pulling people over for these things. 651-461-9226. I wonder what you think. Pioneer Press did an analysis of traffic stops in Ramsey County and in St. Paul. And what they found is that equipment violations in 2019, St. Paul police pulled over 6,200 people for it. In 2020, they pulled over 5,200. And then they changed the policy in September 2021 and said, we're not pulling over for this stuff anymore. And so in 2022, only 400 people were pulled over. And that number has stayed pretty similar over these last couple years. Now, at that low point in 2022, St. Paul was pulling over 11,000 people for moving violations. But over those next couple years, that has grown to be 25,000 people. So is that because there are more people driving like lunatics, or is that because police have more time to worry about things that actually matter? That's what I think. Pulling people over for expired license tabs, for a broken taillight, for a loud muffler, for a cracked windshield, for windows that are tinted, two lights, for one headlight that's not working, or one brake light that's not working. Now, they are sending a letter to the vehicle's registered owner to let them know, hey, we spotted this. Can you fix it? It's not a citation. It's more like, hey, you can't drive around with one headlight out.
What we used to call a fix-it ticket, right?
A fix-it ticket. And so now they do this instead of pulling someone over. If police were pulling over Well, take St. Paul, for example. In the city of St. Paul, the population is about 15% black. So if you looked at equipment violation calls, pullovers, and you said, well, they're pulling, 15 to 25% of the people pulled over were black. I think you could say like, well, they're just, they're pulling over people who have equipment violations. But statistically, the percentage of black drivers that were being pulled over in St. Paul was in the kind of 35 to 40% range. It just is very unlikely that race did not enter into the equation. It just is. Now, does this fix everything? Of course not. And part of law enforcement also is always going to be you're pulling over situationally. So just because the population is 15% doesn't mean that that number should be 15%. And even when I say 25, maybe it should be 30. I don't know. It has to do with where the crime hotspots, who is out driving a car that has, equipment violations. But there's been enough academic research on the broken taillight theory of policing. For me, it's pretty convincing. And I don't know that it was intentional, but I think there was bias in that process. The question was 10 years ago, if you stop this, are we going to be less safe? Are there, the argument from law enforcement at the time, Dan, was like, well, the reason we do these pullovers is because we're going to capture illegal guns, or you're going to catch somebody who's a wanted murderer or whatever.
Or, even lesser than that. Like, I got stopped one time in downtown Minneapolis because I had just literally minutes before backed up my car into a post and broke a taillight. Mm. And minutes later, I'm pulled over. And right. The cop flat out told me, we make stops like this because a lot of times people are driving around with broken taillights don't have current insurance. And so if we can stop, uninsured drivers from being out there and getting into wrecks with other people,
right?
That's a good thing. So there was always a pretext to it.
It's a pretext. And the truth is, people are doing plenty of illegal things on the road. We don't need these things to be the pretext. You could be pulled over for speeding. You can be pulled over for running a red light. You could be pulled over for running a stop sign. All of those things are valid reasons to be pulled over. I think eliminating this, what we found, it is not reduced the number of guns confiscated. In fact, the opposite. St. Paul they've been removing more guns. And so I don't see the downside to this. Now, politically, when Hennepin County announced that they were no longer going to do these kind of pretext pullovers, and that was a little later, Hennepin County, I believe, announced this shift last year. So really, Ramsey County, because it was in St. Anthony, because it was, it was Falcon Heights, but it was a St. Anthony police officer that was covering Falcon Heights. Because it was a Ramsey County incident, perhaps John Choi, the county attorney there, felt more urgency to act quicker. But I think it's been a good policy. I really do. There is enough crime out there to go get people. Texters at 651-461-9226. Jason, I'm glad people get pulled over. I was pulled over because my taillights were out and I had no clue. I could have endangered a lot of people with that at night. I certainly don't want the police going on fishing expeditions, but pulling people over for problems that need to be fixed is just part of good safety. So I think that's true. I was pulled over in Maple Grove for expired license tabs. And if you're in a suburb where you have time to pull people over for that sort of stuff, I guess it's all right. I don't know. What was solved by the pullover that wouldn't have been solved by sending a letter? And by sending a letter, you take out the chance that something's going to be escalated. And you can't remove all of those circumstances, right? You still have to pull people over for unsafe driving. But to me, the letter accomplishes the same thing. It just does. You don't need, and not only am I thinking about the safety of you, the citizen who's being pulled over. And obviously on this date, you think about Diamond Reynolds, right, who is Philando Castile's girlfriend and the daughter. All of them were in the car at the time, and she was live streaming it on Facebook, which at that time was crazy. Like, no one was live streaming 10 years ago. But I also think about the safety of law enforcement, where you end up in a scenario where it's like, was it worth it to pull somebody over because they had a busted out taillight? Jason, you're missing the number one cause for those pullovers, and that's drunk drivers. It's a big difference whether they pull them over on Monday afternoon or 2 p.m. or Friday night at 1 a.m. That can be a valid reason for me to have someone pulled over for a fix-it violation. So the drunk driving case is interesting. I suppose I would prefer we go back to, like, the drunk driving blockades, right? Remember those days where they'd have just, like, a safety check? And I think the courts have ruled that those are not constitutional, at least not in Minnesota. But I think pulling people over for a pretext, hoping you're going to catch a drunk or, like, hanging out outside a bar, I don't know. To me, like, that's not it. It's not the kind of policing I want to see. I think this change makes communities trust the police better and trust them more, because you take out one more example where people can say you're targeting us unfairly. So I think it's good. Let's break. A lot of people disagree in the text. They like the pretext pullovers. That's a position that's very safe to have when you don't do anything wrong, right? Like, that's not what we're worried about. We're not worried about the people who are doing nothing wrong. Let's break. You can weigh in on this. More texts on this coming in. Why not? We'll stick with it. 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute. Thanks to Staples for bringing us the weather forecast. How about a Continental Diamond time check? It is 4:54 right now. Continental Diamond, they're locally owned. They are award-winning. Just great people. The Continental Diamond family, go check out their incredible engagement ring selection. Maybe you got a luxury timepiece that you're looking for. That's what I go there for. Amazing pre-owned selection. You can see all of it at the website continentaldiamond.com. Lots of text coming in about this equipment pullover issue. I get it. Why people feel like, if you know, it's a safety issue. If you have one taillight out or one headlight out, you should be pulled over. But the truth is, like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth endangering the officer? I don't think it is. I think you can send that letter out. Now, a texter says, so you are a proponent of camera surveillance of everybody driving around? AI can tell if you've got equipment violations or your tabs are expired or you may not be wearing a seatbelt. Well, that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about an officer observing this. It is an interesting question, though, when you think about, like, the future of safe policing. How much are we willing to use technology to do this better? I don't know. I am uncomfortable with all of the surveillance that we have going on in the world. And also, like, I acknowledge the fact that if you in Minneapolis only have, what do we have now, 600 officers full time on the force, that if we can use cameras and surveillance to catch people, I guess I would prefer we deploy these things for people doing more dangerous stuff. So if you're running a red light, I would like you to get a ticket. If you're, you know, going more than 10 miles over the speed limit, I'm more open to that. Do I want to use surveillance type technology to bust you for expired tabs? I'm not really that interested in that. I don't know. I guess what's the logic? What's my logic behind that? I don't know. But to me, I'm more concerned about safety. Let's go after the things that are really making people unsafe. To me, that makes more sense. Texter says, I've seen squad cars and squad SUVs with taillights out. So they only pull people over if you have both lights out. One other update that I wanted to share with you. Well, actually, we only have 30 seconds. So, Dan, I'm not going to share that update. How about that?
Uh-huh.
I know. Too much show. Sometimes there's just too much show. What can we do? In a minute, we're going to give you ABC News. I want to talk about the suburbs trying to get you to come hang out on a Tuesday. Why are we so obsessed with, like, visitors to our cities? I don't know. It's a little goofy. We're going to talk about that after ABC News.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.